life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
I'm Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay. And this week's show is another chance to initiate some new thought and questions. So if you'd like to join us with a question, then the phone lines will be open. It's not a personal type of reading, but it's general questions about life, the universe and everything, and the sort of thing that possibly a spirit guide could answer for you, okay? The toll-free number in the US is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi. I'm Nick Avery. Now, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 1 p.m. EST, which is 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is midnight UK time. Is that right?
No, it's not right. No, that's not right, no.
Yes, it is right.
Yes, it is, okay.
Midnight UK time, yeah. Or 7 p.m. EST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole of the show. I won't know about anything else that happens during this time because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else completely. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show because it would take up way too much of the valuable time that we have. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week. This is the only bit that I do in my own physical body, and it should only take a few seconds or so before Gregory Hay is here, and Sylvie will be looking after you, providing the central core energy for the whole situation, including the spirit contact and trance state. So do have a great time, everyone, and I'll leave you with that. Thank you very much, and love and light, as always.
Thanks, Nick. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. The group are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from many walks of life, as well as ordinary people that have a valuable input to make. Because after all, if we've walked the walk, we might not consider ourselves as being anybody special, but we have experiences that we can share and that other people can learn from that are maybe because we've been before and done it, been there, got the T-shirt, as it were. So the information that we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, but we believe in everyone's own right to their views and beliefs. We are also on secondlife.com in a few hours' time at 1 o'clock Pacific, 9 p.m. in the UK at the Mystic Academy. And so you can have another chance to interact with Gregory then and instant message your questions into him if you would like to do that. On our programs, we usually discuss everything that we've been programmed to believe and hopefully emerge with a fresh point of view that is more applicable to life now. So we do like people who can accept difference and think outside of the box, and that's what the spirit world like to engage with us in this way. That's the sort of mindset that is helpful to everybody, really, isn't it? Let's face it. Anyway, hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear Ben.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, little Ben.
Hello. Well, I already have some questions from a listener, actually. We've had them for a few weeks now, but I thought I'd save this one for today because it's very topical.
Yes, I understand.
And it's from Ruth Carson in Scotland, in England, in the UK. And basically, she's wanted to know about how Jesus performed the miracles that he did perform while on earth. You know, how did he heal and how did he do the things that he did?
Without ego. To begin with, without ego. He made full connection with the spirit world. Was, in fact, and continues to be spirit incarnate. So that means to say, his connectivity remains of purity. That is not to say that he did not have a negative thought, but actually those thoughts that he did have were really toward how I can best make a better mind than those that I encounter. The reason and effect of how he created miracles as such were actually pure love. And it is through pure love, energy, connection to the spirit world that anyone is able to perform such states of miraculous recovery, if you like, upon another. It goes without saying, my dear friend, that there have been others since who have performed similar feats, in a sense. Particularly, of course, within certain situations of healing. I understand there have been many who have declared themselves natural healers in that respect, but have not actually created that kind of voice. Jesus himself was a natural healer, as everyone is. And that's really, in a sense, his central point. Because, in actual fact, I know that many regard that his state of consciousness and perhaps utmost love for all physical beings was played out in auspicious circumstances, really, in the fact that even at this present time of year, you celebrate the very fact that he gave his life to it. The point is that his whole central energy was that he was a clear channel to the spirit world. So that, in actual fact, was epitomizing all of the energy God makes available to all beings. And that is to be able to heal one another.
Well, there's a few things that come to mind there, because he said that these things that I do, you can do too.
Yes.
Is this a truth?
It is.
But all of the things that he did, that's not...
That is the amount of love that you have to connect with, and that you need to create yourself in order to bring about an exorcism, a profitable, prolific focus of your concentrated energy and link of purity with the spirit world. And that, in many respects, is what is needed to be done.
Well, we've got a lot... So what you're saying is, with the right vibration link to our spirit, the right channel of towards, you know, the channel, the flow of love that comes out of us,
yes,
then we are able to do it.
Yes, which means, of course, without your own ego being involved within it. That is the purest channel you can create.
But a lot of people are like that, but they still haven't, they're not able to do the things that he did.
No, I am aware of that, but it is purely a state of giving. It's not for want of trying. You have to learn to be within the moment. Then in exactly the same way, my dear friend, you would be able to bring insects, birds, and animals back to life in exactly the same way.
It's funny, isn't it? You talk about ego. The other day we were discussing how somebody was a very good natural healer, but that they didn't trust themselves and they didn't have a lot of confidence in themselves and their ability.
Yes.
Okay, so who told Jesus that he could do that? He knew he could do that. So he just did it naturally. That's what I'm saying.
No one told him.
No, I know. But nobody's telling this other person that they can do it. So they think it's egotistical to say, actually, look, let me try and heal you because I feel I can. They are shy. They're not confident enough to do that.
Because they do not trust.
So he trusted. So Jesus trusted.
Completely and complicitly.
How did he have that trust? Why did he have that trust?
He had that trust because he also had that connectivity with the, I will not say ascended masters, I will say with that godlike energy of which he is a part and of which we are all a part.
Okay.
The point is that people... human beings tend to look at one another with a prospect of ascension over someone else, or of raising one's vibration in order to be higher or better than someone else, rather than practicing being in the state of purity and being. If you exhibit and feel pure love, you don't actually have to speak about it. He only spoke about it because he understood that others needed to be aware, become aware of those intricate facets of themselves.
But he knew, this is what I'm saying though. So he had a belief, an understanding, a knowing, an inner knowing, that we actually haven't got.
But you only have not got it because you deny it, its existence. I am saying to you, each and every one is capable. It is just a matter of understanding the true state of realization.
And I know he did other things, so, you know, apart from healing, he did other things that, he knew that he could do them. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing. He just did them.
Yes, he didn't actually think that he couldn't.
Yes.
He didn't think one way or another.
Mm.
What he did was actionated.
And you actually said that there were many before him and since that could do similar things. Can you talk about any of these before? Let's start with before.
Well, to do with before, dear friend, there had been other philosophers and individuals to do with the brightest star within the universe, and in actual fact had actioned many situations themselves. In particular, I understand that there was the individual from which the whole situation of the other primal religious understanding, for example, came from. That the Prophet Muhammad, of course,
mm-hmm.
was actually another individual who could create extensive situations of sound. You see, the original situation of Allah was that of purity. I understand that many, in fact, brought about that the Prophet of or whatever the energy of Allah was, not necessarily something which was akin to them, because it was of some other religion, so therefore could not possibly be of purity. That's like saying that any other individual, shall we say, from Indian philosophy was not included in this. And since then, Nichiren and Shoshu, for example, was of the same energy. Who was an originator in the, let me see, 13th century in Japan, was another individual who created great and beautiful feats, as well as being a warrior, I understand, but also to do with his empathic role, to do with many different animal forms, as well as other fellow human beings. There were other similarities, as I say, to do with other energies, particularly, I have to say, with other kinds of deities, to do with Indian, that is, dot, not skin, Indian caste and situation of those people. And there have been many to do with different philosophies who have created similar situations of really beautiful connectivity, of healing, of bringing about situations, for example, within the conditions of Buddha, as well as, I understand, to do with his own peaceful journey. In fact, situations surrounding Buddha were that he not only told stories within other folk, but actually brought about great similarities with his own journey, and also a great philosophy within his own journey, and healed others too.
Many of them performed the same miracles, didn't they?
Yes, particularly within the journey of Siddhartha, or many, many others, I understand. Particularly as well within Sanskrit writing.
Why is that, do you think?
It's quite strange, really, in some respects, that one would say that it's almost like a plagiarism from one religious upbringing to another, like they're trying to usurp one another's deities or something like that.
But that denotes that some of it isn't true.
That is very true. It does denote that, apart from the fact that there have been callings whereby one or another has actually led that life. As I say, within the situation of Buddha, you will, blessed be his name, you will see, in fact, that within his menstruations of his own conscious mind, and in the way of working with the conscious mind and the concept and understanding of all life, that he is himself created beautiful connectivities with the spirit world in bringing back to life animals, birds, human beings. And there have been many, many people to do this. Of course, there are other situations whereby one would say, well, these are all shining ones. Indeed, they are, yes. There have been others within various other tribes throughout history who have done similar situations.
Tribes as in nationalities, you mean?
Yes, absolutely so. And in exactly the same way, for example, as Sasquatch, and there have been various beings from them. I cannot pronounce their names because they're actually unpronounceable in physical human terms.
Explain what you mean about that.
Well, to do with the fact that Sasquatch, of course, who are able to shapeshift, and also to similar to cats, I suppose you could say, but also are able to bring about complete situations of transfiguration, who are enabled to, for example, be themselves one moment and blend as a tree in the next.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like chameleon-like. But in actual fact, they use their conscious setting and their spirit to develop that unique state.
Because of their pureness, because of their
yes.
spirituality.
Yes, quite so.
Okay. And that, all right.
And of course, there have been shamanism situations in the past, as well as medieval, not sorcerers, I would say, but actually medieval beings who were, as I suppose, akin to the air. And you would understand that was true too.
Okay, well, see, part of Ruth's question was how did Jesus heal? Because he was supposed to heal instantly.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely. Just in exactly the same state as there have been some people living in South America who have done very similar things. Now, depending upon whether their egotistical frame of mind reference has then outgrown their simple state of consciousness, which is usually the case, that it runs to a person's head. You see, for Jesus, he was very unique in that it never did.
So he was able to keep performing these miracles. So you're saying that these other people can't do it. Once their ego gets too big, their gift
yes.
goes because...
Okay, cool.
Right.
And that's the point, really, we need to make here, is that ego, in this respect, quite adversely to what we have been talking about in previously
mm-hmm.
within this series, has been that ego in fact chances the whole state of equilibrium needed to perform pure healing.
Okay, but it actually is necessary to survive to a certain extent
yes,
as well, isn't it? So it's
I do understand that.
Catch 22 there,
yes,
really.
Yes, quite so. Yes, yes.
Mm.
And in actual fact, I understand that there was the individual as well in this country, as well in the United Kingdom of England.
Who could what?
Who had practiced very similar feats, I understand, was able to heal almost at will.
Who's
in
that?
Actual fact, the individual's name actually escapes me, I'm so sorry.
Come along, White Cloud Group, feed Gregory.
Yes, quite so.
Because you didn't know we were going to be talking about this. This
of course not, I never do.
Sometimes we do have a topic and we work on that, and then we say, okay, we're going to...
Yeah.
Oh, so you can't think of it. So nobody can think of it. Okay, well maybe...
Coming forward with it.
Maybe in a little while.
Yes, I'm sure. I'll just sing it.
Well, I'd just like to say, if you'd like to join us on Spirit's Work, you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium McAvery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and if you'd like to join us with a question, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone in the USA at 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, and that's 001-530-876-3222. Okay. So, talk to us a little bit more about the situations surrounding the miracles that happened, and how. Jesus had a pure connection to his own spirit, so he must have had a connection then to his guides and helpers and that sort of thing, who worked with him. Was he aware of those at the time? Was he aware of them?
Well, actually, my dear friend, he was quite unique in that he did not have them.
Okay.
He didn't have guides and helpers. He was pure spirit in a physical being.
Okay.
He never once switched off from that. You understand?
Yes. And I do understand how people... There's some people that you meet that
yes.
you just gravitate to
yes.
like flies right in a honeypot because they bring, I don't know, they bring something out in you. This spirituality is just so special. It's indescribable. Yeah. But I'm still shocked about the fact that he's got no guides and he didn't have any guides or helpers.
He did not.
Particularly for the miracles. I can understand the healing.
No, he did not need them.
So how did the energy of the universe work on his behalf then?
Through his purity. That's what I'm trying to say to you, Ben. His purity was of such a caliber that he did not need to meditate or concentrate, because he was already in that pure state of being. He thought not of himself, but constantly of others' well-being. And that is a rare, that is the aspect of rare gift that you see, purely because it was an estrangement, if you like, from the normal physical being. Because ordinarily, physical beings up until that point has not perceived that such a gift could be possible, yet alone performed. Whereas he was in such a blessed state that he did not think, can I do this?
So are there, you said, did you say there was somebody here that could do that, or that there is now? What about in the world generally?
Well, there are some up and coming people, beings, I understand, who have that understanding and contour of their mind consciousness with their pure spirit. In some respects, I understand, others would say, well, surely Mother Teresa had it. No, she didn't. Mother Teresa was at times susceptible to the human validation, to the human situation of need that has to arise. She was a person who was very much hands-on within the understanding of physical people. And in many respects, it was really her compassion which drove her.
Okay, so was there anybody at the time of Jesus around of the same caliber in the world?
John the Baptist was very close, but had an understanding of himself which was disconnected, because he was actually quite mad.
Okay.
And his madness actually, it wasn't that it led him away from his gift of spirit, of his own pure spirit, but that for John the Baptist, what actually happened was that his consciousness, in a sense, derailed him, because his mind became in turmoil, if you like. And that it became that he became quite illusionary, particularly, I have to say, to do with subjects of the mind, where he began hearing and became subject to a great deal of interference of negativity from others in the spirit world, which actually drove him to some forms of madness.
Okay, so that would have been in a similar vicinity. What about elsewhere in the world?
Well, elsewhere in the world, my dear friend, there have been others within other tribal states to do with their ability perhaps to help and heal others, although not with such contiguous energy. The point that makes Jesus so different to everyone else is of his contiguous energy within himself. He wasn't someone who thought of himself as, look at me, I can do this. He was just someone who saw a problem that needed to be fixed, and not believed that he could help, but knew that he would resolve the matter.
Is it harder now these days?
Very much harder, yes.
So we won't see so many shining ones coming to set examples like like the people that you've mentioned?
Well, it's not to say that you won't, because in actual fact, at the time of Jesus, there were, in fact, many great negativities which were created in and around the planet of Earth at that time.
Yes, but they were small enclaves, weren't they? Because,
yes,
you know,
there were a lot less people.
Exactly.
Yes, quite so. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. I completely agree, Brenda. And in that respect, it meant that the situations of the harnessing of energy is much more difficult for you now in this time of the energy, because it's so diffused. It's so difficult for you as physical beings to be able to take your spiritual breath, rather than becoming so fixated upon just trying to live. And I'm not decrying that in any way whatsoever. I'm saying that it is necessary for you to find it that way at this present time.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, apart from the sheer amount of people, and finding somewhere where you can be, where you can connect in a pure way without being affected by negativity and that sort of thing,
yes,
being very difficult. Negativity travels in, you've said before that negativity travels in clouds, yes. So it engulfs areas.
Yes, and can also, of course, be a cyclical event which travels about the planet, perhaps because of a certain physical activity that happens at some point in history. Sometimes the memories of it or the celebrations of it bring back those negative states of the time. So does that mean to say then that at this particular time of year of Easter that in point of fact that the state and time of it was something which was duplicated, or that is actually bringing it back again into full life each time it's remembered? It's an interesting point, I think. That could be said for the memories of any other thing, of any other effort. What about all of the war situations that have befallen human beings and their memories of them, their celebrations of the Second World War, First World War, whatever else happens within the Crimean War, or perhaps the Wars of the Roses, or perhaps other wars that have taken place between the English and the French, Napoleon and Wellington. What are those wars? What of all of the hundreds of thousands of beings who were slaughtered then?
What about, you know, like events like armistice and things like that? Do these people in the spirit world appreciate our thoughts at these times?
It's an interesting point, my dear friend, and yes, most definitely, if people send their love to them, then that is obviously appreciated and still helps them to overcome the pathways of situations that perhaps they may have been a part of. It's not to say, as we have always said, that those in the spirit world recover dutifully and almost immediately from every event that ever befell them in physical life. In actual fact, there have been many, many situations which have passed between the lips, minds and eyes of human beings which have been very difficult for them to overcome and put into the past.
Okay. I'm going to go on to Ruth's next question.
Please do.
Why is there such contrasting information regarding reincarnation, even in the spirit world? I've listened to your shows on past life regression and find that very enlightening, but I keep wondering why some spirit guides from the spirit world state that reincarnation is a fact and others not.
That is because, my dear friend, the ones who regard reincarnation as a fact are, strangely enough, they're not on your side of life. They're still there. The situation is, it's because of the fact that that was the pathway which they were a part of in their physical life, and that they simply have not let go of. What I'm saying also in this respect is that because human beings are so fickle within the state of conscious life, doesn't mean to say they let go of their fickle state once they have come to our side of life. Indeed, you will find that there are all of those different camps, all of those different religions which have barricaded themselves into their own walls and their own states of attrition. You have Catholics who constantly reclaim themselves every single week and constantly re-identify with those good and bad deeds that they have pleaded guilty or that they have pleaded for forgiveness of. There are also those mindsets of mission-driven religious states whereby they also will continue to sway that they are the only one and only sacred religious voice for the whole of humanity, and they continue to occupy their own sacred state and space in the spirit world, and actually deny everyone else, in exactly the same as they will deny that there are any other spirit beings in existence other than those saviors they desire to meet with. This is exactly the same as those of many other kind of Buddhist faction or situation of whether it be a follower of Siddhartha, whether it be a follower of some other Sanskrit law or pharaoh. Don't forget that most pharaohs were sought after and thought of as gods, and all of those elected to live life at those times will have the opportunity to either continue that reverence in that state or move on from it. The point is, we're saying here that not everyone is glued to their conscious state or their religious activity that they had in physical life. It is their choice and choosing for whether they decide to relinquish it and search for the path of openness and truth, or whether they continue to swallow it wholeheartedly and stick rigidly to it. The situation remains the same. With those in the spirit world, from native indigenous peoples of North America, for example, who still constantly talk of and identify those ancestors, bright and beautiful, and those not so, perhaps, but who were at war with others and who tried to save their own names. Those, indeed, are still there, exactly where they were, exactly where the world had left them. And not to say that they haven't moved on from it, but that they have gloried in their own energy and come to understand how they really truthfully move on from physical life. Others do not.
Yes, well, so many think there's no possibility of any form of creation or conscious thought in the spirit world before physical life, so...
But that's purely and simply because they don't understand what spirit is, and do not understand either the relationship between spirit and God, which is as one. So, I am saying to you, you cannot counter that spirit does not exist before having physical life, or that life is needed in order to have spirit. That's like saying God doesn't exist until you do. Which, of course, we all know that being that the universe in every single dimensional setting, in every which way or thought of when, has always existed. Not the universe that you understand, that's got a finite situation. But what of all of the universes before that, and the situation energy of the creation that God is, which is the creation of all life, all matter, all forms, in whatever sense or taste or smell or sight or sound you care to imagine.
Well, I think it's fairly insulting to your spirit to think that you need to keep having things drummed into you time and time again here.
Yes.
And that, you know, I don't really think we're that stupid, are we? Not really. I think we all know after the first few times whether something's wrong or not.
Yes, quite so. And why would you want to keep coming back to the same planet? Why do you think that just because you passed it one way, or you situated certain activities in your physical life, and then there it is, your spirit is wearing them. Why would you need to come back to have another go to do it all over again?
Well, I think it actually denotes maybe that, unfortunately, from the beginning, from the moment you're born, that you are actually on the back foot all of the time.
Yes.
Because you are constantly living in a negative, you feel maybe that you're living in a, obviously you don't because you're a baby, but say if it's your child or something,
yes,
or whoever, and then that's the way it's looked at, then that means that that is always implanted in the back of your mind, that this person is only here because they haven't made it right, whatever it is, in inverted commas.
But that's like saying then that you are always at the bereft state of some karma that you had nothing at all to do
with.
Well,
yeah, it's not a very positive way of looking at life, is it?
It's extremely negative.
And
extremely negative, because it means that all of those things you cannot do anything about. Yes, I am well aware that many reincarnationists would say that the whole purpose of this current life is so that you put right the wrongs that you've created in the past one. But what I'm saying is that is such a negative state, because many of the situations of the past are actually to do with you learning the art of forgiveness. And it is not to say that there is someone here from the 13th or, in my century, the 18th century. And I understand the consequences of what I created in my past, which was not incidentally the way or reason why I was decapitated. I was decapitated purely and simply because it was an accident. It wasn't done on purpose, and I did not encounter it or encourage it within my physical life. And that's exactly the same as anyone else who gets run over by a bus or has his life or her life taken by someone else or any other such deed or activity. It is always a matter that people will rather rely blame upon some other activity they can no longer have a hands-on or verification of, rather than dealing with now, with who they are now, and understand that actually the feelings, senses, and results of a past activity are not actually what you think they are, but are much closer to home. Not that you've had a past physical life, but that actually it's the state of the law of proximity that you simply do not understand. Gives you these feelings.
And it's very judgmental and degrading to people that when somebody else surmises that they're here for the first time, or whatever.
Or they're an old spirit.
Yes, well,
everyone's an old spirit.
Yeah, but that you are of a lesser or negative intent because you are here, sort of thing. And yeah, it's it really gets very complicated, I think, analysing every situation that comes to you in your life.
Yes, well, it's so far from the truth. That's the problem. That, in fact, if everyone on your side of life realised their true state of identity, that they are each individually a pure, beautiful spirit, pure and beautiful as an energy which can perform miracles, then perhaps people would stop disbelieving in themselves, feeling worthless.
I think the good analogy that I like, that you say, you know, the planet of Earth is like a grain of sand on a beach as far as the size of the universe and other dimensions are concerned, and the spirit world, obviously. So, I mean, when you look at it like that,
yeah,
and that you are an eternal being.
Moreover, dear friend, your entire universe that you see, all of the stars, all of the galaxies, are just that speck of sand.
Yes, and I want to take my bucket and spade somewhere else next time, please. Don't forget, you can give us a call and join us with the our conversation with Spirit Guide Gregory Hay in the USA. It's 877-876-5227, and that's toll-free, and also Canada is 888-815-9756, and international callers isn't toll-free. The number is 001-530-876-3222. Okay. Another question from Ruth. What is illusion in regards to the world that we live in?
Interesting. Illusion is the accumulation of effects. Illusion is, of course, as you all know, the garlands that you bring together in physical life. What's not an illusion are the energies of love that you paint or that you create around life, or that you paint or create around the around what you gather in physical life. I'm not saying that the trappings of financial success are an illusion, because in actual fact, those trappings can create positivity, can create beautiful images, beautiful places for you to visit and dwell within. How otherwise would you expend your energy? If you did not have the beautiful places for you to go and visit, perhaps then you may well, in a sense, understand those illusions are, in a sense, like human beings trying to create their own perfection, when in actual fact they're like mirrors of the natural world. For example, then, the gathering of various masses and masses of different species of plants, gathering them together to create a garden. That is not an illusion. That is a beautiful state to acknowledge those wonders that the energy of God produces within the variation of species mutation. What it becomes an illusion is if you covet them, is if you do not freely allow others to see them and enjoy them. If you as a being wish to understand only from the point of your own religious necessity, are you not then creating an illusion about other people's understanding or ability to take part in that? Surely you are creating an illusion by saying, if you do not believe what I believe, you are going to go to hell. That's an illusion, clearly. Anyone from such a religious edict would actually fail in the whole situation of the cycles of knowledge. How could you possibly say that you are a purer being, or that your religious understanding is of the purest possible insight, if you are then condemning everyone who does not think your way into understanding that they are going to go to hell, when hell doesn't actually exist? The illusions that human beings paint are many and varied. Human beings create illusion out of any edifice they wish to climb, because those edifices are created through the understanding and logic of one single direction, not in a multiplicit and encompassing direction of pure life and pure love energy. If you are looking at those intrinsic energies of the pattern of physical state, you are going to see that they have no barriers, that they have no doorways or bars to exception, but that they actually encompass all beings.
Well, each person's illusion is very individual, and sometimes it's a way of coping and escapism. I mean, what is an illusion is a huge question, really, isn't it?
Yes, because it's the measure of thought and idea. Your thought process can only move along so far along the railway line of success or failure, and then very often you come to an abrupt end because it's your barrier, your whole barrier and restraint of being able to accept something outside of your morality code, outside of your edict or religious circumstance, or perhaps a situation for self-preservation.
You do have to have this ability to expand your mind into that way of thinking, to use, how can I explain it? As a coping mechanism, basically, to always believe that there is something else. I mean, we live an illusion. We live with, well, you said that religion is man-made. Okay, yes, absolutely. Jesus did exist, and, yes. You know, et cetera, and you were talking about
Buddha.
Yeah, and all of that. And a lot of people would say, well, if you don't believe in religion, then you can't believe in these people, but that's not what you're saying.
No, religion is a structure.
So, yes, so religion is like an illusion, really, yes. But it's a way of life for many people, and it keeps them going, and it's, yes, do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So everybody has their own form of illusion in their lives.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's sometimes very necessary.
I completely agree with you, little bird. My point really is that, for example, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, but that was something I did not actually assimilate to after a few years after I passed, because I was entreated to a different way. That doesn't mean to say that devils or negative energies came and swayed me away from the religious path of purity of Catholicism. It actually was the fact that I opened my consciousness state of the possibilities of things that purely secular state had denied to me. Had denied to me not through its rigors or through its blessings, but that had denied to me because of its rudimentary barriers that had been set up in order to prevent me, or to try to prevent me, from inquiry.
Okay, so it's all about stifling your imagination and your quest for
truth.
For truth, or the imagination of anything else that is possible around any situation, really, isn't it?
Yes, as I have said so often before, the actual story of Jesus, the truth of his life, is true. The point of the many edifices which were then later brought about around it were the failures of the monks and various others who constructed various stories around it, which then became, in a sense, the archetype which drove it to a religious faction. And then onward into the mass hysterial situation that it became. After all, don't forget, friend, that many people were actually put to physical death because of it, and in respect of not believing in it, not towing the line, if you like.
And the amount of times that it was altered, was the obviously power and control anyways, but
and manipulation, not consciousness.
Yeah.
So my point really is not to have a go at those people, particularly per se, but actually to say, well, there is a thread of purity there which needs to be examined. And that's what I'm saying, is those people inherent within it need to look at other ways of furthering the consciousness in pure love, not in I am better than you, I am outside of this fence, therefore.
Okay, well, we've only got about a minute left.
I understand.
What's Jesus doing these days?
Continuing to heal. And of course, there are many hundreds of thousands of people who pray his name each and every moment of existence of the Earth's physical time orbit. And that means that energy, which is created by that auspicious state of awareness, continues to help many hundreds of thousands of beings who pass to our side of life without love. And that is exactly what he gives, not as a person nailed to a piece of wood, but a person who understands the needs of others.
Good, well. Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend, little bird. God bless.
God bless. And I hope you've enjoyed the show, everybody. Just like to mention our website again, that's www.spirit-teaching.com. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening to Spirit's Work. My name is Sylvia, as I say, and until next time, be peaceful. Be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.